بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are looking at the second lesson from Surah Al-Kahf, which relates to a test of wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the story of the man who had the two gardens and his attitude of arrogance, considering himself and his wealth to be his personal achievement alone, and what happened as a result of that, how he lost everything. I remind myself anew that for anything to be your own, I'm not talking about the quantity of it, I'm saying anything, for it to be considered your own, there are two conditions of ownership. One is that you should have the absolute right and the ability to do whatever you like with the thing that you own. Aapki milkiyat mein aapko pura tasarruf hona chahiye aur pure tasarruf ka haq hona chahiye. और पूरा तसरुफ आप कर सकना चाहिए. जो भी चीज़ आपको अपनी मिल्कियत आप समझ रहे हैं, वॉट एवर यू थिंक इज योर इज समथिंग यू ओन, यू शुड बी एबल टू डू वॉट एवर यू लाइक इन इट विदाउट एनी लेट और हिंड्रेंस फ्रॉम एनीवन. सेकंड कंडीशन ऑफ ओनरशिप इज दैट इट मस्ट बी योर्स फॉर एवर. दूसरी शर्त मिल्कियत की यह है कि वो आपकी रहे हमेशा. दीज टू आर दी test of ownership. If I say I own this house, then if I want to knock down this wall and put another wall, I should be able to do that. If I want, I have a window here, if I want to close up that window and knock a window somewhere else, I should be able to do that. If I can't do that, then the house is not my, I'm not the owner of the house. Right? If I can't do whatever I like with the house, I want to sell the house, I should be able to sell it. If I want to just blast it and break it down and convert the whole house into a rubble, I want to dig a hole in that place, whatever I want to do. Whether it is sensible, not, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if I want to do something, I should be able to do that. Nobody should have any right to say, you can't do this. Then it belongs to me. If there is anything where somebody else has a right to stop me, then the thing doesn't belong to me. Number two, it should be mine forever. There is no limit to that. Mine forever. There is this wonderful teaching story of a fakir who came into the palace of the king and he spread his bedding on the throne, on the takht of the king. You know, our kings didn't sit on chairs. They sat on a takht, which was, you could lie down on it, also big things. So this man spread his, somehow the security guard and so on, you know, maybe they were sleeping or something. So anyway, he put his bedding on it and he went to sleep. So then the security guards woke up, they came running and said, who is this mad man? He's sleeping on the throne of the king. So they woke him up and they arrested him. So they said, what do you think you are doing? He said, I'm sleeping. He said, how can you sleep in this place which, you know? He said, I'm sleeping. This is a sarai. This is a caravan sarai. He said, this is a hotel, right? A resting house. So they said, you are mad. This is the palace of the king. He said, no, it does not belong to the king, it's not the king's. This is a sarai, this is a place for resting for travelers. So they said, you are crazy. Anyway, they brought him to the presence of the king. And the king asked him the same question, what were you doing? He said, I was sleeping. Where were you? In my palace? He said, no. I was sleeping in the sarai, I was sleeping in the resting house for travelers. So the king said, you are mad, this is my palace. The man said, who did this belong to before you were born? He said, my father. He said, who did it belong to before your father was born? He said, my grandfather. He said, who did it belong to before that? He said, my great-grandfather. He said, who did it belong to before that? He said, there was another dynasty here at that time. My great-grandfather founded our dynasty. He said, who will this belong to after you die? He said, my son. He said, who will it belong to after your son? He said, my grandson. He said, a place in which people come and go, what do you call it? What do you call it? It is not yours. How is it yours? Now the point I am saying is that the teaching story teaches us this very important issue, which is that what I call my wealth, what I call my property, what I even call my body, right to that extent, to my body. Do I have complete and total tasarruf on my body? Do you have this? You don't have this. You want to cut off your finger? Try do it. It'll hurt like hell apart from anything else, right? So the point is that if you have no complete control over, okay, if it is your tasarruf, you don't have to chop off your finger. In the morning when you need to go to the toilet, don't go. Very simple test. This is yours, no? This body belongs to you, right? You say, it is my body, I will flaunt it. If I have it, I will show it. No problem. Yeah, we agree with your theory. But first prove that it is your body. Before you say that I have it, I will flaunt it. You know, I have a good body, I will show it to the world. No problem. Absolutely no problem. Please show it. But first prove that this body is yours. And what is the test for that? In the morning when you need to go to the toilet, don't go. It is your body, right? So you say, if I don't want to go, I will not go. This thing in my stomach which wants to leave, sorry, you belong to me. You are last night's dinner, right? You will come out of my body only when I decide, not when you decide. Do it, let me see. Then how is this body yours? So if the body is not yours, then whose rule must be established on this body? The rule of the owner of the body. I have rented a house from you. Next thing you know, I am knocking down this wall, I am, you know, blasting a window somewhere. You will come and grab my neck. You say, this is my house. How did you go and knock down this wall? I said, no, but I am living here. No, if you can live here, you are paying me a rent, house belongs to me. You can live here without disturbing this house. And if you need to do something, you have to ask my permission. This is a regular rule. No? I mean, if you rent somebody a property, you can't go and do whatever you like. It doesn't belong to you. Then how can we do that with what Allah has given us? How can I say, these are my eyes, I will look at whatever I like? No, you can't look at what. You will look at whatever your eyes were designed to look at. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who owns your eyesight, whatever He decided you will look at, you will look at. What Allah did not tell you, what Allah prohibited you, if you look at that, then you are doing injustice to the property that has been given to you in trust. You say, these are my ears, I will listen to whatever I like. No, you will not listen to whatever you like, you will listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted for you. This is my mouth, I will put whatever I like, I will eat whatever. No, you will not eat whatever you like. You will eat what Allah has made halal. This is my intelligence, my effort, my energy. I will work anywhere, I will earn anything. No, you will not do that. You will do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted for you. If Allah has not permitted for you, you will not do that. And Allah's permissions and Allah's prohibitions are not some arbitrary rules made by, you know, these are for our own benefit. Because nothing benefits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing harms Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu samad, Allah is beyond all this. Any harm, if it is there, it is for us. Any benefit, if it is there, it is for us. If I get drunk, I fall, you know, in the gutter, and I'm lying in my own vomit. Who is harmed? Allah? I have harmed myself physically. I have harmed myself in terms of my reputation. I have harmed myself in many ways. I have harmed my family. Because I want to indulge in this thing of saying I will drink alcohol. which Allah has prohibited. Allah prohibited alcohol not for his benefit. Allah prohibited alcohol for your benefit. If you don't have the sense to understand that, if you are so stupid that you still want to drink, go drink. Who cares? You want to smoke, go smoke. You want to go buy cancer? I mean, I always say, don't buy cancer. Cancer is free. But you want to buy cancer, go buy cancer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prohibitions and Allah's permissions are for our benefit. And this is the lesson. The lesson of Surah Al-Kahf, as far as wealth is concerned, is not confined to money. The concept of wealth is a concept of ownership. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is not yours. This dunya is not yours. This whatever has been given to you, yourself, your body. That's why I began with that. That is the absolute basic, fundamental, my own body. After that comes my family, comes my children. They're not your children, they're not your property to do whatever you like. You are supposed to raise them in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. And He gave us the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life to say, bring up your children like this so that they are good human beings with integrity, with values, with ethics, with morals, good citizens, good neighbors. You know, don't bring them up that they turn out to be a pain for everyone who's around them. No. Similarly, this is my land, this is my house. Yes, alhamdulillah, this is your land. Meaning, this land has been given to you in trust for a short period of time. Whether that land is 1 square foot or whether that land is a whole country and you are the king, same rule applies. This has been given to you in trust for a short period of time, during which you are free to enjoy it, no problem, but you are also supposed to exercise trusteeship with that place. Meaning, look after it, take care of it. The people who are there, the inhabitants who are there, they are in your custody. You are the person who has been established for their welfare. So think about their welfare, do good for them, spread goodness all around you. And then one day this will be taken away from you. Because you will die. You will die. No matter what you will you write, you cannot control your future from your grave. And that's why in Islam, the Islam does not even give you the right to write an absolute will to say, this is what I will do with all my property. No. Even there, Islam has put a restriction to say only 1/3 of the property you can write a will for. 2/3 of the property will go to whoever Allah has decreed it for. Finished. You have no control even to will it. You can't even write a will to say all my property will go to my cat. No way. Doesn't work like that. Islam is not valid. Forget the cat. You can't even give it to one child. If you have two or three children, you can't say, no, I don't like these other two. All my property will go to my son or my daughter. No way. That will is invalid. It will be thrown out. 1/3 you can give to who you like. And that 1/3 also cannot be given to those people who will inherit in any case. It has to be given to others. And those who will inherit, they will inherit the 2/3. If you don't write any will at all, then the whole property will go to those who will inherit. So even there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a restriction to say, this is not yours. Then how can you treat it like it is yours? And as I said yesterday, short answer, what must we do? Make shukr and have taqwa. So alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, whatever Allah has given me, I am thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And then deal with that with taqwa. This is the reason why the people of knowledge never asked for wealth. They never asked for power. They never asked for authority. They never asked for land and... Because they understood what it means. It's like asking for a musibat. Why would you want it? You say, oh Allah, make me the king. For what? So that your neck will be in the noose before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment? To say that you did not rule justly? Why do you want to be the king? For what? Oh Allah, give me 10,000 acres of land to do what? For what? Now you have become responsible for 10,000 acres of land. Why would you want it? For what? You are answerable for this. Oh Allah, give me $50 million. For what? You will answer for every single one of those 50 million. Why do you want to do that? That's why the best dua is, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. Oh Allah, give me goodness in this life and give me goodness in the next life and save me from the hellfire. You look up the du'as of any Nabi. You look up the du'as of any of the Salafu Salihin, any of the great ulama, the awliya. Not one single person ever asked for money. Not one single person ever asked for authority. Not one single person ever asked for land and this and that. Nobody asked. Why? They're not fools. They didn't ask because they know. This is a huge responsibility. Why would you want to load yourself with that? Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us enough. I always make this dua. Oh Allah, do not make me dependent on anybody for anything in this life or the next life. Khalas, that's all. Beyond this, I don't want. I do not want. That is the secret to happiness. Keep it simple. Be satisfied, qanaat, which is contentment in the heart. That is the greatest wealth. It's not the number of dollars. People have a lot of money and they're full of anxiety, trying to protect it and running behind this and that and then court cases and so on. There's no sense in that. Qanaat, ask Allah for contentment. Ya Allah, alhamdulillah, make me content with what I have. You will sleep peacefully. And inshallah al-musta'an, on the day of judgment, the hisab also will be easy. Allahumma hasibna hisaba yaseera. Oh Allah, make our hisab easy when Allah takes it, and may give us al-dhanatu firdos without hisab, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.